Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, May 14th, 2015. And with me today, I have Kelly Goumont. It's been a while. I feel like I've been missing you, Kelly.
You probably have been.
I have been. It's great to have you here. Also great to have John Martellaro here. How are you, John?
I'm good. And I've also missed you, Kelly. Welcome back.
I've missed you too, John.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to go play some, and when I say play, what I really mean is you got to go learn some awesome stuff, and now you're back, and that's awesome. So,
and I'm gonna put this out. If anybody has an opportunity to attend CocoConf, it is absolutely a thing that you should do if you are interested in Mac or iOS development, or you wish to be interested, or you already are doing development for Apple hardware. You should totally check out CocoConf. It's the greatest bunch of people. I had the best time.
That's awesome. And you wrote about it. So I'll make sure we have a link to that in today's show notes.
Indeed, I did.
Yes. And I have a little announcement too.
Do tell.
Yesterday, we had some noise interference. A military jet flew over and it really lit up my microphone.
Boy, howdy.
K4. Yeah. So today, I'm using a Blue Encore 100 dynamic mic. The same microphone that Kelly happens to be using today.
Indeed.
So let us know how that one sounds. I'm sure you'll think it's better.
And and the microphone John was using earlier this week and up through yesterday, I've already made the executive decision. That is not an option for you guys to vote for. You're welcome.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, first thing I want to take a look at today ties into microphones on some level. Okay, so there's word out that that Apple streaming music service is coming soon-ish. That is not news in and of itself.
Right.
This is something we've been expecting. It's probably going to be rebranded from Beats Music to Apple Music. Also, no surprise. Mm-hmm. The kind of surprise-ish part is that Apple's going to revive Ping for this, at least part of Ping. Now, those of you that don't know what Ping is, you're actually kind of lucky. Ping was Apple's attempt at a social networking service, and it was music-focused, and it worked through iTunes, and you could share what you were listening to with your Ping friends. You could comment on each other's listening choices and purchase choices, and then artists could have their own Ping pages where they could do their own self-promotion, and then we as Ping users could then interact with them. That's the part.
Sort of.
So that's the part that's getting revived for Beats Music, soon to be Apple Music. So artists will be able to have their own promotional page through the streaming music service where they can do their own self-promotion and interact with fans, and then do cross-promotion with other artists, if they so choose.
This should work. I think this sounds good. Because if you engage the artist, you know, probably six people used Ping, because you know nobody really cared to find out what you were listening to at the moment or what your favorite music was. Everybody, you know, kind of does their own music thing. But engaging with the artist is going to produce a higher level of loyalty and more interest in their product and more sales.
Well, I think what actually killed Ping is that it didn't have Facebook integration.
That's precisely what killed Ping. I heard stories at the time that it was supposed to have Facebook. And
Apple announced it that way.
And that something happened after the announcement that put the kibosh on it.
Yeah.
So, and that was still back in the day when it made me less furious, enraged, full Mad Max on having to use iTunes. So I actually sort of enjoyed Ping because it was kind of fun to, I didn't know very many people who used it, and it was mostly other nerds, but it was kind of fun to get to judge each other. And so I would, you know, put a Hanson song in a playlist just to see if anybody was paying attention. And Adam Christensen never caught it. So, haha. Because he was one of the few people I remember following on Ping. The the discovery bit of Ping was actually my favorite part. Like I said, I didn't spend a ton of time there, but more than a lot of people, because most people didn't know about it or use it at all. So I actually sort of enjoyed it, but it's the same because I liked the discovery and like the things that I listen to a lot, you know, super, super commonly, are sometimes things that other people have never heard before. And so I like being able to share that, and I like having that same experience with someone else. So, you know, whatever Jeff's five favorite songs are, maybe I've never heard any of them, you know, except that Spice Girls song that he loves. You know, we've all heard that. But,
well, because it's so awesome.
I didn't say it wasn't awesome. We've just all heard it. So that was the thing that I liked about it. And I find that I'm sort of meeting that need now with Spotify, because there you can share a playlist and you can do a lot in Spotify even with a free account. So for me personally in 2015, this is the biggest non-starter for the simple reason that I'm sure all of you are going to guess. It means you're going to try to make me go and use iTunes more. And that is just not going to happen. Not in this universe, not in any other.
Yeah, that's part of how this all works. To and interact John's, with artist pages, you will be doing it in iTunes.
And that's why I'm curious that John is like, hey, this might be nifty, because I thought John was my iTunes enraged compadre.
I am. And I remain so.
So the fact that you're like, I'm going to go hang out.
I have the wood chipper handy every day.
As one does. I hear the chili is fantastic.
No, but I think, you know, Apple, the reason I'm positive about this is because, you know, Apple is trying to do its best to help artists make money and earn a living.
Well, I want to like it. And anything that gives me a chance to interact with an artist, I'm going to enjoy. But iTunes is a hurdle that I personally cannot overcome. And part of that is because every time I try to do something in iTunes, they have changed it and I just get really frustrated and quit. And I know that that's like the opposite of the kind of user I am, as we're about to find out by our second topic. But I find it really aggravating and I just don't have the patience to sit and try and monkey around with it and figure out why it is the way it is. So
it's interesting that iTunes has become the software that aggravates us instead of is joyful to use.
You know, it's actually starting to remind me of
Internet Explorer.
No. It's starting to remind me of the Weasley's house from Harry Potter. As soon as there's another need for something, they just slap another branch onto the side and bam, we've got another bedroom, we have an extra kitchen, another sitting room, whatever. And
wow, yes, iTunes has become the Weasley's house of Apple.
It has. It's Apple's Weasley house. Like, and now I just have this vision that Tim Cook has this clock in his office.
I'm visualizing it now.
With a hand for everybody, you know. Eddie Q, always on the verge of mortal peril.
Yeah.
So, that like for me, that's going to be the hurdle. And I think it's probably not going to be a hurdle for a lot of people, because I think a lot of people who didn't spend a lot of time in iTunes before, when it was a lot easier to use, and have sort of, this is the only way that they know, is the aggravating convoluted way. They're going to be people, this is going to be Internet Explorer syndrome. This is what I've always used. And so it's not going to be a problem for me to continue to use it the way that I was, you know, in this new way, because it's never been something that was easy and straightforward. It's just the way of things. For people like that, it's not going to be a big deal. My question is going to be the level of interaction, just because I've seen the kind of stuff that you get on official artist pages or any sort of, you know, notable person on Instagram and on Facebook and on anything else. Like, they are basically spam magnets
and ranters
and either haters or ranters. And then, you know, and the people that are like, please follow me, I love you. Like, and I just don't have the patience to wade through any of that stuff either. So there are very few people like that I follow on like Facebook or Instagram for that reason, because I don't need, like, I had to unfollow the White House because every time the White House posted something, it just turned into a flame war in all of the comments. And I'm like, oh, that's a nice picture. Oh. And then I would have to scroll past it as fast as I could. So I want this to be a better system. I hope that it will be. I do not expect that it will be.
You know what worries me, Kelly? that this will be an excuse for Apple to say, well, we don't really need to work much on iTunes because everybody's going to be so excited about this music.
Yeah.
Music streaming. And so that's, you know, iTunes is the past and nobody buys music anymore. That's what I'm worried about. Although I did get a birdie tap me on the shoulder about a month ago and said, hey, give us some feedback on what the big aggravations are. And I wrote an article and we sent that back to the birdie, and iTunes was prominent amongst that list.
That would be my biggest problem. You know, I've told you guys that Mr. Kelly is a recent switcher. And one of the things he said to me at one point as he was sort of coming to terms with maybe his next computer would be designed in Cupertino was, is iTunes any better on your computer than on my computer?
To which you replied,
and I said, it's not, I said, it's no easier, but it's a whole lot faster, which was the truth. And so he said, if it was easier, I'd switch tomorrow. Like, he said that to me for like a year, that if iTunes was not this giant pain in the neck with the undeniable PETA factor, I think.
We've been complaining about it for a long time, but Apple's not apparently, well, maybe the birdie who asked me was the beginning of the process, but boy, it sure taken Apple a long time to rethink it.
Well, I think part of the problem is iTunes has grown so far beyond what it was intended to do, and I think Apple is kind of stuck, because how do they fix iTunes, split everything out of iTunes that shouldn't be there, and still have everything work right?
I know what I'm writing about tomorrow.
My idea is for this Drive Genius approach, where you have these icons floating in the window in front of you, and you switch context. And there's a whole new GUI and a change of context, but the code behind can stay the same and interact with each other. But there needs to be a distinct state of being when you're in iTunes. Focus on something. I know there has to be integration with the music store, but right now it just seems like there's a lot of controls and a lot of menus and a lot of stuff, and you have to sort of navigate through it instead of being in a pleasing, focused environment. Do you agree with that?
There's nothing pleasing or focused about iTunes.
No, It's because it is the Weasley's house, and that's the whole problem. It started out as put music on your iPod, and then it became buy music and put music on your iPod, and then it became buy music and movies and put them on your iPod, and then it became buy music and movies and TV shows and put them on your iPod. Mm-hmm. And like, it has become the old lady that swallowed the fly, and here we are
in the Weasley's house.
Yep.
In the Weasley's house. I'm totally gonna write this tomorrow. You guys have given me inspiration. Thank you very much.
I am so glad. Hey, as much as I would love to keep talking about this, I'm making a switch topics because we're running low on time, and I want to make sure we hit our second topic also, because I have a feeling this is going to be helpful for a lot of people out there. So, Kelly, you have been doing so much with smart home and home automation gear, and you've come up against some frustrations that you want to help people work through.
Yeah, so the problem is, it's not necessarily a problem. The situation, I guess I should say, is that in 2015, there is so much stuff in your house that either wants or needs internet access in order to be working properly. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, my TV and my DVD player can go get their own firmware updates, or, you know, they can alert me that it's a thing that I need to say okay to, and then they can go download it. There's a lot of stuff. Like, at the point when I was still assigning IP addresses to everything in my house, and this has easily been 10 years ago, I ran out of spots in that little MAC address filtering, where you can say only items with this particular hardware ID can be on my network, and I ran out of space. And that was like a decade ago. So you can imagine what my house is like from a network perspective. So with people who, you know, this sort of occurred to me because I thought, well, gosh, you know, if people read my article about how Hue lights are awesome and go buy some, and something happens on the network, like a lot of people don't even have any idea where to start with how to break down what the problem is, how to break down what broke down, more or less. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to have some basic, super basic network troubleshooting. And I know that sounding like I have to be my own network administrator is a really intimidating sounding thing, but I've done what I could to at least break down the steps that you need in order to identify the problem. So it's a very basic sort of article to at least help you figure out what it is that's going on so that then you can go about fixing it. Now, I don't have any magical solutions for anything in my article.
Is there some place that you typically start when you have a problem?
So, you know, a lot of people probably know that there's some sort of wire or cable that comes from the street into your house. And for a lot of people, it's cable, like cable TV. You have cable for your internet as well. And if that's what you're doing, then the cable comes into the house, or if it's DSL, that's like the other really common one. It comes into your house into a modem. For some people, that modem is also a router. And what a router does is make sure that all the traffic on your internal network is getting where it needs to go.
That provided modem is the last bastion of nerdiness and geekiness and a black box that you don't understand. Maybe
it is. It is a dark art if something goes wrong with that. So the first thing you want to do is make sure your internet's not down. So start there, because if you're having trouble getting something on the internet and it's giving you some sort of difficulty, there's a chance that the internet is down. So start there, because there's nothing more entertaining than spending the better part of an hour beating your head on a networking problem to find out there's an outage in your area. Ask me how I know. So the first thing you want to do is make sure that you do in fact have internet access. There could have been something going on in your neighborhood, and if nobody has any internet, then obviously you're not going to get anywhere. A lot of people are getting their internet from some company that also provides something else to their house. So you get internet, phone, and TV, or just internet and TV. So you can start with really easy stuff like, I don't think I have any internet. Do I have any television? Because sometimes if one is down, they're all down. So start with that, and then work your way back into your house. Like, if you know that from the street to your house is solid, then from there, if your modem is separate from your router, then go to your router. Is your router working? Do all the lights look like they should? Have you tried unplugging the cable from the back for a second, you know, pulling out the power, putting it back in just for a second? See if that sometimes will kick something into finishing whatever it was doing or whatever. Maybe that's all you need. And then from there, being able to determine if something on your network is what's giving you difficulty. Because sometimes one renegade device can be what's pulling down everything else. And sometimes it's just a matter of it was that device's time, and the reason you can't reach it is because it has died.
It has moved on to the great bit bucket in the sky.
It has. It is an X device. So don't nail it to the perch. It might just be time to let it go and buy something new. And mm-hmm. I give you some steps for how to break some of that stuff down and what sort of functionality to expect. So, for example, the Hue lights, which I mentioned before, which is a really common situation, Hue lights and Wemo devices, little Wemo plugs and Wemo switches, those are the most common sorts of home automation that I see, because you don't have to invest a whole lot in any of that. You know, you buy that sort of self-contained system and bring it home and set it up, and you're ready to go. So if you've done that, then what you end up with is something that you can control. If you don't have any internet access, but your phone is on your Wi-Fi at home and all your Hue lights and stuff are on the Wi-Fi at home, then you can still control them. But the awesome thing where when you're not home, you can still turn lights on and off, that won't work if they don't have internet access. So while you're home,
really important thing for people to understand, because
because
if you don't have internet but you're home, you can still do a lot of your home automation control things, because it's just your local network.
Yeah, and you just need to be able to establish that all of those things can talk to each other. Now, if they can't, your router may be the thing that has passed on, and sometimes it happens, and sometimes it just it calls it a day. And I was literally once in the middle of doing some work online. I was doing some research for something and my router up and quit while I was using it. It just completely bricked. So, you know, it can happen. Now, it was like an 8-year-old router, to be fair, but it's something that sometimes just happens. So I give you some tips for, I give some tips in my piece for being armed with the right information. And then being able to do a little bit of understanding what to expect if you have internet access, if your internet's out, and then being able to determine which thing is the thing that is giving you the problem. Because at least then, once you know, oh, it's this particular Wemo that's causing me trouble, it's this particular computer that's having the problem, at least from there you have a starting point and you will be able to sort of proceed from there without having to do a ton of other stuff. Like,
Kelly,
I've determined it.
I fantasize about a network diagram on the big screen TV on the plasma. Uh-huh. And you see a network layout of your house, and it's all maybe through the Apple TV. Uh-huh. And you, it like monitoring stations where they have, the electric company has, where they can see, yeah, where a substation is out. You have a little red bar or red line that says, you know, this is the link we think is suspicious. And it lights up in red on your network diagram on the plasma display or your LCD display. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be amazing. I'm, yeah, all distracted now because I'm thinking about how awesome that would be at my house.
And now you're figuring out how to use If This Then That to set it up.
I kind of am, because that would be amazing. And honestly, I would need to put it on the big TV in order to get to see everything.
That's kind of cool. Hey, mm-hmm, we're out of time.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, go check out my piece. And I'm going to point out that I tend to write these for two groups of people. I write these for the super technical people who end up being the tech support for their families so that you can just shoot them a link. And I also write this for people who are absolutely not technical people who may, in fact, need to have some of this information. And I promise it doesn't hurt.
That's awesome. Thank you for taking the time to do that, Kelly, because there's a lot of people that do need that hand-holding. So that's awesome. And John, thank you for bringing your usual insight today.
I shall go back to iTunes 12 and my piano solos. Jim Brickman, David Lance, Danny Wright.
That's just awesome. Hey, listeners, thank you for joining us again today. And we will see everyone again tomorrow.